Welcome to The Connection, a weekly radio program where we share our experiences and expertise with stories of caring, courage, and change right here in Connecticut. Listen to learn about needed resources to improve your well-being and transform your life. Now, here are the hosts of The Connection, Lisa DeMattis-Lepore and Ann Baldwin.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Connection right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. I'm Ann Baldwin, and I am here in our studios in New Britain at Baldwin Media, and everybody else is out of the house, right, Lisa?
That's right. I'm tuning in today from my Danbury office, and I am the only one here, so it feels a little bit weird, but it's all good, and it's a beautiful sunny day, so I'm happy to be talking to you this morning and hearing your bright voice.
Thank you. It's, you know, if there is a blessing in the problem, which that's kind of my new phrase during all of this, is that at least, you know, we've had a mild winter. We do have some sunshine that we can still get out and, you know, walk around our neighborhood, or you can walk your little bocce, your little shih tzu, and I can walk my little teddy, my shih tzu. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what keeps me sane right now, because
I have something funny to tell you.
What?
So the woman that grooms bocce is, you know, she's great, but she's sort of like eccentric. Let's just say that.
Okay.
So her nails are green, she has like green streaks in her hair. Her nails are purple, right? So she said to me, "Let me put a little streak of like food coloring in its tail. What color do you want to do?" And I said, "Well, let's do a little purple." But of course, it didn't take. So he has a very pale pink stripe on his tail. He looks adorable, and it's the cutest thing I've ever seen. You can hardly even see it.
You know, we're all doing what we can do. You know, and you talk about somebody who has gone to, you know, the rafters to help us out and be on the show, literally. Peter Callahan. I don't mean to laugh, Peter, but when we were setting you up for this call, and, you know, I'm like, "Where are you?" And you're like, "I'm up in the rafters of my attic at my home in Southington. That's the only place you can get reception." So thank you for climbing up into the attic. Well, we should mention that Peter is the Leadership and Engagement Director at Copper Beach Institute. And really, Peter, we need your help right now, because I think we are all just in the midst of so much uncertainty. All of us, you know, just from a financial standpoint, from an economic standpoint, from a health standpoint, you know what it is. And so I'm hoping, and I know Lisa is too, that really you can offer all of our listeners today, you know, some advice on how we can deal with all of this stuff. Because I know with your degree in business, you went to URI. You coach mindfulness, and you've served on a lot of boards, and, you know, you've got a proven track record. So prove that you can help us all take a deep breath and calm down.
Yeah, I know we're getting bombarded with a lot of information online, and it's hard to know what to listen to or pay attention to. And, you know, that's really what we try and focus on at Copper Beach, is at least, you know, trying to be a little bit more aware of the choices that we're making and of where we're putting our attention, so that hopefully we can have a little bit more agency or control over these crazy thoughts and emotions that if anyone's like me, you're experiencing all different types maybe than they have been in the past, because we're all
right
in this, you know, brand new scenario together.
Myself and my fiance Bill, I mean, I'm openly, when I'm feeling like I'm feeling it, I'll just openly say, I need help right now. And we sit down and we talk, and he's had to talk me off the ledge a couple of times, and I've had to talk him off the ledge a couple of times. Or sometimes I'll just try to, if, you know, like today, I took a shower, I did my hair, my makeup, I put on a cute outfit, and, you know, everybody's saying to me, "Where are you going?" I'm not going anywhere. But where I'm going is, I just need to be in the right demeanor to get some stuff done and just try to shake the stuff off a little bit.
Great job. That reminds me of sort of my favorite question, really, that I ask, but that we can ask ourselves at the same time, and I hear you doing beautifully, is asking sort of, what do I need? Or in another way, how is what I'm doing working for me? Really check in with yourself, and again, kind of use your use your mind in ways that help you, right? Instead of staying in our pajamas and just turning on the news and hoping we feel better just by sheer luck. Maybe that'll happen, and most likely it'll take a little bit of intentionality, but the great thing is we don't need to do a lot. Just paying attention to what we're saying to ourselves, right? What's actually happening both in our minds and our bodies right now in this moment can be extremely, and there's a lot of neuroscience and research around the impact of just that checking in, maybe in a slightly different way than we're used to, but the impact that that has on, can have anyway, on our nervous system and on just our energy and our attitude and the way we're showing up for the day. And everything's brand new right now. So acknowledging, like, it's probably going to take, this is one of the other keys, is some experimentation, right? So trying out some different things and coming back to that question of, how is this working for me? Is this doing okay? Should I try something else? Or, yeah, all right, I've really found something, at least today or in this moment.
Lisa, I'm going to ask you a question because you're president and CEO of The Connection, right? Mm-hmm. You are at the helm of this huge organization with all these people, all these clients. You're the mother of a, you know, senior in high school that's now learning from home and trying to, you know, keep life normal for him as well. You know, and people, I think, expect folks like us to be rocks. Like, we can handle anything. So my question for you is, and I want Peter to maybe help us both, is how are you doing?
I'm just really blessed to have my peers. We're doing the CEO Sane, Stay Sane phone call, 8 o'clock every morning. So there's a group of us. But having said that, it's really difficult because my main concern, I have a lot of concerns. My main concern right now, obviously, are the staff and the clients and the fact that we run 24-hour residential programming. And while movement has been, for our clients, has been reduced, they're still in and out. So I'm worried about the safety of everyone involved. It's extremely upsetting to continue to watch the media and the news, especially after seeing a mayor from New York City talk about how severe things are there, and it's so frightening. I mean, I don't know if I'm admitting this. I haven't told this to anyone. Being a person that myself that needs to be around a lot of people and interactive and, you know, seeing folks, I'm having a really difficult time. You know, I mean, I'm going to get through it, but it's a struggle. I, you know, am Zooming in with my staff, and we are on and off who's in the office, who's not in the office, physically, and then we're, you know, working off site. But it's just, it's a very scary time. You know, I'm worried about my family. I'm worried about my son, who works so hard, too, to, you know, get to, you know, become a senior, and he's accepted to all these colleges, which we're not going to be able to, you know, go see again. I mean, it's virtual, but I don't know. We don't, you know, I don't want to live in a virtual world. I mean, it's temporary, right? But it's just, it's scary because it's being, you know, not that we're ever in control, but we're not in control of anything.
Peter, I think Lisa brought up a really good point, and that is it's hard to live in a virtual world. You know, we don't have the touch. We don't have the connection. We don't have the socialization. So what can we do about that right now?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a great question. And what impact is this sort of constant virtual scenario having on each of us, too, I wonder. But yeah, I think there's a few strategies that, and again, maybe you've seen these on some of the lists or things you can do. I love one of the things you said, Lisa, I think is so powerful, especially as a leader. I guess there's two aspects that are really key. The first is what you said at the end there is, I don't know. I think the power of just admitting to ourselves and each other that we don't have all the answers, to your point, we probably never do, right? The world is full of uncertainty. You've heard the military term VUCA, this acronym that I think acknowledges today even better, right? It stands for volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous, which is just acknowledging how uncertain the world is. And the military uses this in their own planning, kind of admitting, like, we've got all these plans. Here's what used to work for me. Here's what really, you know, has been effective in the past. And yet, every time we face a new moment, a new situation, it's a new experiment, like we said before. So being able to be aware of just what's actually happening inside of us and that we don't have all the answers, and that's okay. I think so much of the practices that we facilitate here at Copper Beach around mindfulness and meditation and awareness really just has to do with being able to see what's going on inside ourselves a little bit more clearly so that we can acknowledge that that's what's happening right now and not to judge ourselves or make it good or bad. Even if it's not working well for us and we do want to change something, that's totally understandable. And in this moment, it's already happening. Just like the pandemic right now, this is occurring, this is happening. So can we acknowledge it so that we can then ask ourselves, what do I need? What might work best for me? What can I do next and try out? So thank you for your just brave leadership, as Brene Brown would say, having that courage to be vulnerable and open, because I think it's a sign of more strength, not less strength, to say, I don't have all the answers and I'm not sure what to do. So I think that's a great place for all of us to start at home right now. On the connection side, you know, hopefully we are able, what a gift that we have technology, right? So it's this sort of paradox of, wow, this is really, I'm finding it really hard to be on video conferencing as much as I am, part of my role. And even now with friends and family, that's how we're getting together. So that's one thing, you know, we're working on planning a dinner with my dad and stepmom. My wife's 6 months pregnant, so everyone was looking forward to being here for a baby shower and getting to see each other, and that's not going to happen. So we're making a virtual baby shower, right?
You know,
and we're setting up virtual dinners. Yeah,
that's so cute. I'm attending a virtual baby shower, too, on Sunday. And I'm so
amazing.
Yeah, I'm so looking forward to it. It's going to be so different. But a friend of mine in Texas, and they're decorating the backdrop, and it's going to be really cool. But that's how it goes. If you're just tuning in, again, we're speaking with Peter Callahan. He's the Leadership and Engagement Director for Copper Beach Institute. And you know, Peter, you do corporate work. I know you do individual work. You're a nonprofit. And if people want more information, I want to make sure that I give out this website a couple of times so that you can reach out. It is Copper Beach Institute, all one word, COPPERBEECH Institute.org. And they're located in West Hartford, but right now Peter is in the rafters of his attic in Southington because that's where he's getting the best reception. I'm the only one in the studio, and Lisa's at home. I'm going to ask you this, Lisa. What are you wearing?
I'm wearing jeans, blue jeans and sneakers, Anne.
Okay, I thought maybe you were going to say that cozy bathrobe that I got you for Christmas, but I guess not.
No, but I do find comfort in that in the evening. It's so soft. But no, I'm not wearing that right now.
So, Peter, last time one of your colleagues was on with us, they gave ourselves and they gave our listeners a couple of maybe things that we can do. What can we do at home? What can calm us down?
Maybe it's helpful to just understand to a slightly higher degree just how our nervous system works. So an important disclaimer, I am not a neuroscientist, nor do you need to be to understand these principles. But, you know, we're set up with these brains and bodies that have evolved, you know, depending on what you're believing in, but have evolved for hundreds of thousands of years. And we're in a completely different environment now. And so we have this area of our brain called the amygdala, the fight or flight or freeze area, that right now when we're getting bombarded with all this information, the kind of stories that are getting into our brains and turning into emotions that are really telling our nervous system that we're in danger, right? So you might start to notice that with your heart beating really quickly, your breath kind of getting more shallow and speeding up a little bit, and all those different mechanisms start to tell your nervous system and your whole body, like, wow, we're in danger. We need to, you know, get out of this situation, to fight, to fly, right, to run away, to freeze. And so for a lot of us, this is happening almost on a continuous basis right now. And our sort of whole body is releasing this chemical called cortisol that really can have detrimental effects over a long term that's happening. So just acknowledging, like, this is happening for a vast majority of us a lot of the time. So the very simple activity, and if you're listening and somewhere safe and you want to try this out at home, a really simple activity to start to calm down our nervous system is actually just to put our hands on our belly. Can be a helpful way to do it. Put your hand, just one hand on your stomach, and see if you can notice the feeling of your stomach, your abdomen, increase as you exhale, sort of expand like a balloon. just starts to give your nervous system this message that I'm okay.
Right.
I'm not currently in danger.
You know, like I want to ask you too, Peter. I mean, I don't know about you, Lisa, but my social media feed, it's meditation, free meditation, download this, help you sleep, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you know, it's just people obviously are marketing to our stress during this COVID thing. What do you think about that, Peter? Do those tools work?
I think there is the potential for almost anything to work for us, depending on how we use it, right, and how we're sort of set up for it. So we've certainly joined that, you know, as a nonprofit, things look a little scary right now, mm-hmm. right, for just about every type of business or organization, right? Unless you're selling respirator masks, it's probably a challenging time for you. Even them, right, they're running out of supply. But we are really trying to do our best to create opportunities for folks to utilize some of these resources and find different practices. So we also, you know, we have a free live meditation every single day at 12:30. So I appreciate you giving out the website before, copperbeachinstitute.org. And we're just offering these for free right now, despite the fact that we're not sure where, you know, revenue is going to be coming from. And we just think it's really important to offer the resources that from our secular evidence-based approach really we find work really well for us and for the folks in our community. So I think trying to go toward things that are going to slow us down. I think one of the best sort of pieces of advice we can give right now is to maybe do less instead of more. Even though you might have more time and space and freedom, again, our nervous system is overwhelmed. So things like journaling, things like just having a simple phone call as opposed to being on a video all day. Actually, the phone call can be a little bit less stimulating for the nervous system and help us be a little bit more relaxed than it's really challenging on video because we're also looking at ourselves. I have yet to see an option to turn off looking at me if I want to see everybody else on the call, right? You can just look at the speaker, but it feels like a very narcissistic potential activity that we're doing. So I think it's helpful to switch over to phones and just finding ways, you know, like you said earlier, going out for a walk, especially with your dog, even petting your pet actually can be really calming, especially if you're paying attention to the feeling of your hand, the softness of their fur, right? Yeah. Just checking in with any physical sensations, again, really do a great job of bringing us back into this moment as opposed to this future state of, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? You know, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring.
You got my interest on that meditation. So Copper Beach is giving a free meditation every day, Monday through Sunday at 12:30?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So if you go to just our website, there's a little red bar now across the top letting folks know, please don't come in person, right? We're practicing social distancing as well. And you can just click on the little link there and it brings you to all our online offerings.
So how
we
great.
Have this daily live meditation, but as well, we have recordings that you can go back to. We have a whole long list of blogs. We have a really amazing blog article that was just written last week by Grace Edmonds, one of our facilitators, just on some of these strategies and different approaches that you can take. So it's all free. Really recommend anyone to go check it out and feel free to email us if you've got any questions.
That's copperbeachinstitute.org. You know, another thing you said, Peter, is sometimes this is a good time to slow down, but I think for folks like Lisa and I, at least I don't mean to speak for you, is that we're used to go, 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 go. And I almost feel guilty. I feel guilty when I'm not doing something. So I've tried to also say, okay, and I'll say I'm going to clean this closet out today. I'm going to clean this drawer out today. I've given myself little tasks. From my girlfriend Jeannie, who was raised in an orphanage, said when you're overwhelmed by all the stuff you have to do, the nuns always told them, start in the corner and work your way out. And I've been doing that, and it does make things not as overwhelming. So in that case, the nuns were right.
Frozen 2 actually has this message in it. I don't know if you've seen that yet. I got to watch it with my nephews. But, you know, they say in there, just take the next right step. Right, so just checking in with yourself, like, what is the next thing I can do? I'm not sure what the future is going to hold, but, and I hear you too about for me, it's accomplishing, right? Getting things done. Like, I really love to be of service and check those boxes off the to-do list for the day. And it's a whole different thing now. It kind of reminds me of what I've heard some of my clients in the coaching that I do describe retirement like. it's like every day is a Saturday, and I can do whatever I want all day long, and it can be really challenging as opposed to having a clear list with more to do than could ever be done. Now it's sort of a different situation, and again, we've got to be kind to ourselves and slow down enough to be honest about what is going to be most helpful for me to do.
Right.
It's easy to stay in those same habitual patterns of, yeah, here's what I always did, and let me keep doing this, and how can I pack my entire day? And that's not good for us anytime for the most part, but especially now when we're so fragile. I'm wondering, too, if I could just, I think, you know, we described the online meditations, and I just know for many people the word mindfulness or meditation feels really lofty, or maybe folks have tried it now with all these apps and things. And it's just helpful, I think, to let folks know that you don't have to stop your thoughts when you're doing these practices. So I'm sort of describing a lot of the slowing down process that really surrounds and is the center of these mindfulness practices. And I just want to let folks know that if you've tried it before, if you never have, and it just, for me, someone with anxiety, and, you know, I kind of see myself as a bit of a recovering jerk. I didn't used to treat people very well, and trying to get a lot of things done, as I described, it was almost impossible. It is still almost impossible for me to stop my thoughts from occurring. Right. So I go on our weekend retreats to Copper Beach. I've taken all of our courses. We have lots of 8-week, 6-week courses that we go through. And yet, no matter how many years I've been practicing, my thoughts don't just stop when I decide to slow down. In fact, sometimes they go even faster. So I think one of the keys to just getting to know our nervous system and just our body is to recognize that it's okay for thoughts to be happening, for emotions to exist, right? Just like we were referencing before. And really the goal, and if you join any of our sessions, you'll start to get to just try this out with some other folks too. We do a lot of, it's really introductory. You don't have to have any experience. And really our goal is to simply start to notice the thoughts that we're having. Mm-hmm. So one description is kind of stepping back. If your thoughts are a waterfall, constantly falling and crashing and going faster than you could maybe even see them all, we're not trying to stop that waterfall. Right? That's not even possible. But to be able to step back and see that water falling and just start to notice, like, oh, what impact are these thoughts having on me? And, you know, maybe we can then choose, oh, you know, I think I'm going to think about this or call a loved one right now instead of go click on the next news site or, you know, fill my day with things that aren't necessarily going to help me.
Right.
So I think it's helpful to know none of us are good meditators. That's totally okay. It's simply about the practice, right? It's kind of like the gym for your mind, just exercising that. Your mind wanders and you bring it back to your breath or to some sensation. It's really as simple and as challenging as that. So if that's helpful to
absolutely
anyone who's considered these practices, but just feels like, I'm not sure that's for me. Maybe that's true. And I just invite you to give it a try.
Lisa, I know that at The Connection, you've used the services of Copper Beach Institute, right?
Yes, I actually, you know what? One of the things that you post on your website that I really love is it's okay to not have it all figured out. So these things that you're, you know, posting on a regular basis, I have to go on there because I just, like, start my day looking at those. It just really helps me. But, Anne, yes.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, we all need anything that works, we need to work it right now because we all are in this together and need to get through this together. So I want to thank you so much, Peter Callahan. Again, in case you're just tuning in, I want you to know he went all the way to the rafters of his attic to be on the show today.
Thank you.
And Lisa DeMattis Lepore, thank you, hon. It's always, I wish you were here so I could give you a hug, but I guess we'll have to make up for that after this whole thing, this madness ends, let's hope. So now it's time.
We will, yeah.
We will, absolutely. And we want to thank all of you, our listeners. We hope that you're staying safe and sane during these difficult times as well. We want to thank you for tuning in to this edition of The Connection right here on
WTIC News Talk 1080.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.